الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعصي ما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. وقد قال تبارك وتعالى: إن الشيطان لكم عدو فاتخذوه عدوا. وقد قال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: إن أعدى عدوك نفسك التي بين جنبيك، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected elders, علماء كرام, حفاظ كرام, elders and brothers in Islam, the first 10 days, which is the days of Rahmat, have left us or is about to leave us. My topic for today, as an introduction, before I mention it, as an introduction, is that every person has a budget in his home or his business. Some people have a small budget, some people have a big budget. But every person has a budget, which he works around that budget for his monthly expenses. But there are certain things in that budget, in that list, which are priorities. For some people, it may be the rent of his house. For another person, it may be the fees of his child. For another person, it may be his expenses towards his home. But you will find that there's one extra thing that is found there, which we have made a priority nowadays, and that is security. In every person's budget, sometimes it may be an alarm system, sometimes it may be a guard that a person has got that he has to pay for, but security has become a priority in a person's budget today. So this is with regards to a person's physical enemies. Why? Because a person is worried about himself, he's worried about his property, he's worried about his family. So therefore, he has made security a priority in his life. Why? Because he's worried about those physical enemies that may attack him. Just as we have got these physical enemies, insan has also got two spiritual enemies that are within him. The first being shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Inna shaitana lakum aduhum fattakhiduhu aduwa. The shaitan is your enemy, so take him as your enemy. And the other enemy that we have got within us is nafs. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the riwayat of Bihaqi, إِنَّ أَعْدَى عَدُوِّكَ نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ. That your worst enemy is that nafs that is within you. So these are the true enemies that we have got within us. What precautions are we taking for the safety from these two enemies? I will briefly mention from the ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to us the plots of shaitan. and what we can do to safeguard ourselves from those plots. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَدَعُ عَرْشَهُ عَلَى الْبَحْرِ وَيَبْعَثُ سَرَايَاهُ إِلَى النَّاسِ. In a riwayat of Muslim Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the shaitan has got his people that are under him, that are working for him. Every day shaitan, he places his arsh on the ocean. He sends those people that are working for him, he sends them out. فَأَقْرَبُهُمْ عِنْدَهُ مَنْزِلَةً أَعْظَمُهُمْ عِنْدَهُ فِتْنَةً. The closest to him is that person who causes the most mischief in the dunya. The one that causes the most mischief is the closest to him. So in the end of the day, after they finish their work, they all come back. They have to give their report to shaitan. يَجِيُوا أَحَدُهُمْ. One person will come. And he will say, مَا زِلْتُ إِلَى فُنَانٍ. I stayed with one person and I continued pestering him, behind him all the time, putting all my whispers for him to do all the wrong. حَتَّى قَالَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. Until he used his tongue in the wrong way. He may have used it in the, he may have said some vulgar words. He may have swore someone with his tongue, etc. Shaitan looks at him. Wallahi, ma sana'ta shay'an. You haven't done anything good. That wasn't any great thing. Then yaji'u ahadum, then another person comes. And he says that I never left this person. Hatta farraqtu baynahu wa bayna ahlihi. Until he ended up giving talaq and he separated with his wife. The hadith thereafter mentions shaitan fayudnihi wa yuqarribuhu wa yaltazimuhu. Shaitan makes him close to him. He embraces him. He says, na'am anta. Now you have done something. Ulama mentioned, why is it that shaitan got so happy with this action more than any other action? So they mentioned that this one action of talaq, number one, is abghadul mubahat. From the permissible things is the worst thing. Hadith got it for the worst thing from the permissible things. And secondly, from this one sin, from this one action, so many other sins come about. When the talaq takes place, then ghibat takes place regarding the husband and the wife. Husband will make ghibat of the wife. Wife will make ghibat of the husband. Then sometimes there's slandering also. Then there's not only breaking of two people, there's breaking of two families. Then sometimes there's a problem with the children and the custody and this problem and that problem. There's so many other problems that come out because of this one action. So shaitan becomes very pleased with talaq. Unfortunately, this word has become so loose today that now we hear people saying also that the iddat period is lasting more longer than even the nikah also. Allah protect us. So this word has become so loose. Shaitan becomes very, very pleased with the talaq that is given and the breaking of the nikah. Then another thing that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, the plots of shaitan, from the plots of shaitan, that inna shaitana wadi'un khatamahu ala qalbi ibn Adam. The shaitan places his snout on the heart of ibn Adam. In dhakar Allah khanasa wa in nasiya iltaqama qalbahu. And when this person makes zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the shaitan moves away. But if he's an idle person, then shaitan devours that heart. Then after that, shaitan works on that heart. And then after you find this person doing this wrong and that wrong. Why shaitan does not like the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Now zikr doesn't mean that a person has to be with a tasbih or say subhanallah, alhamdulillah all the time. Zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, kullu muta'in lillahi fawwa dhakirun. That every person who is in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is in a remembrance of Allah. If he's in his business, but he's conducting his business the way Sharia has told us, then he's in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not misusing his eyes. He's not misusing the limbs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. Then he's in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he goes, and before he enters the toilet, he reads the dua before entering the toilet. Even he goes in the toilet, he's not in the zikr of Allah, but he's getting the thawab of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So complete obedience is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shaitan will devour that heart that is not in the zikr of Allah. That's why they say an idle mind is a devil's workshop. So it's very, very important that the children also, we also should keep busy. As long as you're keeping busy in those things that are permissible. You can't keep busy in things that are not permissible. Now you get one parent, the child is stumbling. So he wants to get the child off his back. So what he does, he put the child in front of the television to watch. Now the child is passing his time, but he's passing his time in sin. So we should keep ourselves busy, but we have to keep ourselves busy in those things that are permissible, not those things that are against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another plot of shaitan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, يَعْقِدُ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ قَافِيَةِ رَأْسِ أَحَدِكُمْ. That shaitan every night when a person goes to sleep, shaitan casts his spell on a person. He ties three knots. On the nape of a person, he ties three knots. Now these people who involve themselves in sihr and magic, they normally take a person's hair or something and they make knots on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. The people who deal in black magic, etc. Then they take a person's hair or some part of the body and they make knots. And they read and they blow in it. And that has an effect on a person. The same thing was done on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were 11 knots that were made. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the mu'awwazatayn, that is qula'udhu bi rabbil falaq and qula'udhu bi rabbil nas, were revealed, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reading all those 11 verses, and each verse he read, one knot was becoming opened. And slowly the sihr went away. So likewise, every night shaitan is placing, he's casting his spell on every person. There's three knots on the nape of a person, and he's saying, Alayka laylun tawilun, alayka laylun tawilun. And he tells the whole night, he's whispering in your ears, that the night is long, carry on sleeping, carry on sleeping. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, but فَإِنِسْتَيْقَضَ أَحَدُكُمْ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهِ in hallat uqdatun. But when a person wakes up and he reads the dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur, then one of those knots are open. And then after that, when he makes wuzu, then the second knot is open. And then when he reads his salah after, he reads his salatul fajr, then the third knot is open. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, فَأَصْبَحَ نَشِيطًا طِيبًا نَفْسٍ. Now this person he's feeling refreshed. And he's feeling happy in his heart. Otherwise, if a person does not read his salah, he does not make wuzu, he does not wake up reading the dua, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, فَأَصْبَحَ خَبِيثًا نَفْسٍ. This person is feeling lethargic. Even though he may go to the gym also, and start off the day with the gym, and he thinks he's feeling very, very fresh, but spiritually he's dead. What Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that spiritually this person is feeling low. He doesn't feel like reading salah, he doesn't feel like reading Quran, he doesn't feel like going to the masjid. So we talk about spiritually he's feeling low. Yeah, physically he may be feeling fresh. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, that when a person, when he comes into the masjid also, then when the azan is given, then shaitan runs away from the... Shaitan runs away very fast. And very far away he runs away. And then after the azan is completed, then he comes back. When the iqamah is given, he runs away again. He doesn't like the zikr of Allah. And then after, when the iqamah is finished, he comes again. And he starts interfering with the people. He says, uskur kada, uskur kada. Or I think of this, think of that. Then the person forgot how many rakats he's reading. That is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, Rasu sufukafuhum. Rasu sufufakum. Fa inna shayatina yadkhulu fil khalal. O kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. That make yourself straight. Fill in the gaps. Why? Because the shayateen are standing in between. The shayateen come and stand in between. And then they cause all these problems. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned day after that when a person comes, enters his home also, then he must make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make salam. Take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shaitan says, La mabita lana, wa la asha alana. There's no place for us to stay here. There's no place for, and there's no food for us. When a person, before he starts eating, he takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then shayateen, they say that there's no food for us also. That is why it comes in the riwayat, once in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one person came, one sahabi came, and he just started eating, one widow one. Never take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then just before the last morsel, he read the dua, which a person normally recites if he forgets to read the Bismillah in the beginning. Bismillah awwalahu wa akhirahu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, ya Rasulullah, why did you smile? He says that all this time shaitan was eating with him. Now we don't see shaitan eating with us. But what? There's no barakat there. You're eating, but not feeling the barakat. Still not getting full. So shaitan was eating with him. But when he recited this dua, then whatever shaitan had taken in, he vomited everything out. Because there's nothing for him now in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gets nothing. So likewise, when we enter into our homes also, we should take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you find that the shayateen all go away. The after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, إِذَا كَانَ جُنْحُ اللَّيْلِ فَكُفُّوا صِبْيَانَكُمْ. That when the night enters, then keep your children inside. We should hear the old people telling us, now is Ashar al-Maghrib time, everyone come inside the house. The riwayat is telling us that. That when the night approaches, then you must keep your children inside. Why? Because the shayateen are moving around. That is why you find most of the sin that is taking place in the night also. There was a time when the children, the whole day they had to help and assist. When they were off and they had nothing to do, they would assist their parents in the shop or in the work somewhere. So the whole day they were working, they were very, very tired. So when the night came, they had to sleep. But now the children are so free, and obviously they got that extra energy that they want to also let out. So the whole day they're sleeping and the whole night they're wasting time. So it's very, very important that we keep ourselves and keep our children occupied at all times in those things that are permissible. So that they don't get involved in those things that are impermissible and in things that are haram. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that even when you're going to fulfill your desires with your wife also, then at that time also shaitan wants to interfere. Then at that time a person, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a dua. Allahumma jannibna shaitan. وَجَنِّبِ الشَّيْطَانَ فِي مَا رَزَقْتَنَا. That Allah protect us from shaitan. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a child is born from that meeting of the husband and wife, then the child will be protected from shaitan. So these are the different plots that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. Different plots that shaitan uses against his insan. But how can we protect ourselves, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Oh, deen is a complete deen. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as he told us the plots, he told us what to do. A few other things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that we can do to save ourselves from shaitan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that house where in Surah Baqarah is recited, then yafirru shaitanu min al-baytil ladhi yukrawu fihi suratul Baqarah. Surah Baqarah is a very powerful surah against the shayateen. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that person who leaves his home and he recites his dua, Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Bismillah tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Then a person is protecting himself in four ways. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hudita, wa kufita, wa wuqita, wa tanahha anhu shaitan. One is hudita, Allah will guide him. Throughout his day, Allah will guide him. In his works also, things will become easy. Wakufita, Allah will suffice you also. You'll find there'll be barakat in your time, there'll be barakat in your business, and barakat in your work also. Allah will suffice you. Allah will suffice in your needs also. Wawuqita, Allah will protect you also from all types of calamities also. Watanaha anhu shaitan, and shaitan runs away from that person who recites. We should be reciting it. We should also teach our children also to recite this dua when they're leaving the homes. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that person who recites Ayatul Kursi in the night before he sleeps. Then that's a protection for his home. Somebody has got the protection for the neighbor's homes also. So it's a protection for a person right till the morning. So this was our first enemy that we were talking about that is within us. And that is the nafs. The second enemy that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about, inna a'da aduwika nafsuka allati bayna jambayk, is our nafs that is within us. Now in this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left us only with one enemy to sort out. And that is our nafs. According to the riwayat of Bukhari, وَسُلْسِلَةِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, the shayateen are chained. And according to another riwayat, وَسُفِدَتْ مَرَدَةُ الشَّيَاطِينَ, the evil shayateen are chained. So a person cannot blame the shaitan also, whatever wrongs that he is doing. So Ramadan is a very, very good time for a person to see whether the whole year, whatever wrongs he was doing, was it because of nafs or was it because of shaitan. And remember, shaitan, nafs is a greater enemy than shaitan also. Why? Because who misled shaitan? It was his nafs that misled him. So ulama mentioned that the nafs is a greater enemy than even shaitan also. Some people, they mention and they ask this question, and how is it that even in the month of Ramadan, we still find some people committing sins? Allah protect us. So as the Shaykh Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah has given the answer in his mentions, that compared to other times, the sins are much less, number one. Number two, because the nafs has become accustomed to sin for 11 months, therefore, we find the effects of that are still within him, even in the month of Ramadan. So those are the effects of the nafs that a person is still committing those sins. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even in the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken a qasam on this nafs and the soul. The soul is such that Allah has taken a qasam. And there are good thoughts that are coming into this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires it with good thoughts. And Allah ta'ala also inspires it with sin also. But now, we want this nafs to be such that it must only be inspired with good. So Allah ta'ala gives us the way out. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That person who purifies the soul, then you will find that instead of the negative whisperings that come, negative whisperings will always come. Whisperings from shaitan will always come. But the good whisperings will overpower those whispers. But if a person abandons his nafs, then you will find that the bad whisperings will overpower the good whisperings. That is why when Buzuk mentioned that every person that wants to do something, he finds two whispers that comes into his heart. One say, don't do it. One say, do it. And this good thought that comes, as Buzuk mentioned, is like a guest. If you honor that guest, he will come again. But if you don't honor that guest and you leave it and you ignore him and you continue doing that sin, then that guest won't come again. Then that good thought will not come again. That good thought will not come again. So therefore it is very, very important that that good thought that comes, you should follow that good thought. Then slowly, slowly when you start following that good thought, a time will come when that good thought will become stronger and stronger. And it will overpower those evil thoughts that come upon us. That is why ulama mentioned that at all times, in this month especially, a person needs to make mujahada. Mullah Rum Rahmatullah used to say, that person who protects his eyes, and he protects his ears and his tongue, and then if he does not become the wali of Allah, then I stand responsible for that. Because these are the three avenues that go directly to the heart. So at all times a person has to make mujahada, has to go against his nafs. And going against his nafs is not something new. Every day a person is making mujahada, whole year he's making mujahada. That small child that he doesn't want to go to school, the parents still force him to go to school. He's making mujahada, he doesn't want to go to school. But you make him go against his nafs and you force him to go to school. So he's going against his nafs. Every person doesn't like to go to work every day. Sometimes he doesn't want to go to work. But he understands that at the end of the month, this is what I'm going to get. So he goes against his nafs and he goes to work. So just as we do it with worldly things, we should do the same thing with our dini things also. That azan is going for the time of Fajr, then we will wake up, we'll go against our nafs. We will go against our nafs and we'll come to the masjid. Our nafs is telling us that we must eat that haram. We will go against our nafs. We won't eat that haram. And ulama mentioned for the mujahada, there are four things that are needed. I'll mention these four things, inshallah we'll complete. And what are the four things? And the ulama have derived this from fasting. Number one, ulama say that a person should sleep less. What do you mean by sleep less? The Buzugani did mention a person day and night he should sleep at least 6 to 7 hours, not more than that. The second thing that they mentioned to us is a person should eat less. Now in the past people used to eat very little. What they tell us, Hazrat Imam Masihullah Rahmatullah used to say, that pet barkar khao, ji barkar mat khao. That eat to your stomach's full, not to your heart's full. So a person will eat less, he will eat his stomach full, but not to his heart's full. Now a person is completely full now. And he didn't know there was something else on the menu now. And something else is brought in front of him. He said, why didn't you tell me beforehand what is in the menu? Now he's full, but he's still eating that also. So now he's no more eating his stomach full, he's eating to his heart full. And the third thing they tell us is to speak less. Speaking less does not mean that you must leave out haram. No, haram you have to leave out. Speaking less means that those things that are not necessary, you'll have to reduce that. Something that is of not any worldly benefit, no dunyawi benefit. Now one person comes, one customer comes into the shop, a lady comes into the shop, now you have to lower your gaze. Now once she asks you, what is the price of this item? Now if you don't tell her the price, how is the person going to buy? So that is a worldly benefit. So you will give her the price. But now, you won't ask her, now what's your name, where you stay? Now all those other two questions were unnecessary. They were not related to what you were doing. So what was necessary, if there's any worldly benefit for it, then you will do it. If there's any dini benefit, you will do it. But anything that is not necessary, then you will not. Min husni islam il mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. From the beauty of a person's Islam, that you will not pursue those things that are not necessary. And the fourth thing that they say, that a person should mix less with people. Yes, during your work time you have to mix. And when you come into the masjid, you will see someone, you will make salam to him. You will ask him how he is. But nothing more than that. Not the things that are not necessary, not related to you, but nothing to do with you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam in surah Alam Nashrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. When you have completed with your daily work and what your important work, now tire yourself in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is it that I got some extra time now? So I must go and meet someone. I must go and sit with someone so that I can pass the time. Now I'm fasting also. Likewise also now, even Isha is also finishing early. So now after Isha, we want to meet with some friends, have some coffee, have some tea, meet here, meet there. So some precious time, the month of Ramadan will go. The barakat will go. We don't know whether we're going to see the next month of Ramadan. So it's very, very important that we look after this time and we use it in the proper way. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from these two enemies, that is nafs and shaitan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to fulfill the rites of the month of Ramadan, whatever is remaining. And whatever barakats that are there in the month of Ramadan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with those barakat. And may Allah ta'ala make us see many more Ramadans. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.